That's why I'm playing it for you here on VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English. On today's program, Ashley reports on financial requirements for international students in Australia. John Russell has a story on U.S. plans to limit American-made AI models in China. Brian Lin has this week's science report on a possible rail system on the moon. Later, Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins present the lesson of the day. But first,
one of Australia's top officials said the government of Prime Minister Anthony Albanese is concerned about a completely broken migration system. Minister for Home Affairs Claire O'Neill made the statement in an announcement about a new policy that affects international students. O'Neill said the Australian government will require students to have more than $19,000 in savings to qualify for a student visa. That is about $3,000 more than last year. She said the larger bank accounts will ensure that international students can support themselves while studying. She said having more money will reduce targeting of students for exploitation. The Australian government is concerned that students come to study but spend too much time working in outside jobs. O'Neill also warned 34 education providers that they might be suspended for non-genuine or exploitative recruitment practices. O'Neill called these education organizations dodgy providers. Dodgy means false or operating without morals. She said the letters will help weed out the bottom feeders in the education business. Some government officials are worried that the schools make false promises to students about how much they can work or the quality of their study programs. O'Neill also said the bad actors trash or hurt the opinions people have of good schools. International education is a large part of Australia's economy. During the 2022 to 2023 school year, foreign students added about $24 billion to the economy. The increase in international students is starting to worry some Australian leaders. As of last September, Australia reported that immigration resulted in 548,000 more people in the country than the year before. The government is also blaming the fast rise in the cost of renting places to live on the increase in short-term visitors. The government expects the new financial policy to cut the number of new migrants in half over 2 years. I'm Ashley Thompson.
Biden administration plans to put limits on American-made artificial intelligence, or AI, models, the Reuters news agency reports. The aim is to restrict the technology that powers popular chatbots from countries such as China and Russia. But China in the past year has built its own generative AI industry and has been urging its companies to avoid foreign technology. So, how dependent is China now on U.S. AI models, and how might new American policy on AI development affect China? OpenAI's key AI services, such as ChatGPT and the DALL-E image generator, or maker, have not been officially released in mainland China. An OpenAI spokesperson told Reuters last year that it was unable to do so in some countries due to local conditions. However, many companies and engineers have accessed OpenAI's services using special tools like virtual private networks, or VPNs, to hide their network addresses. As a result, many Chinese companies have been able to build software and programs on top of OpenAI's models. Chinese companies also often compare their own AI models against those of OpenAI. OpenAI has shut down Chinese companies' access to its service. Last December, OpenAI suspended the account of ByteDance, TikTok's Chinese owner. The move came after technology website The Verge reported that ByteDance used OpenAI's technology to develop its own AI. Access to OpenAI's AI models is also restricted in Hong Kong. Although OpenAI's services are unavailable there, Microsoft, an investor and a partner of OpenAI, has released Copilot to the public. Copilot is a generative AI service built with OpenAI's latest technology. By partnering with Microsoft, companies in Hong Kong can also use OpenAI's AI models. The United States government's plans are aimed at the export of closed-source AI models. Closed-source models involve software and training data that are not publicly available, sources told Reuters. Open-source models would be beyond the restrictions of export controls. However, China has been using many open-source models developed in Western nations, such as Meta Platform's Llama series. The Beijing Academy of Artificial Intelligence is a high-level research lab in China. In March, Chinese government media reported that the lab said the majority of Chinese AI models were built using Meta's Llama models. The lab told China's premier Li Xiang at the time that China severely lacks autonomy in the area. One AI is one of the most well-known AI companies in China. Last November, it faced strong criticism after the discovery that the company's AI model Yi-34B was built on Meta's Llama system. That said, a large number of Chinese tech companies such as Baidu, Huawei, and iFlytek have been working to develop their own AI models. Some of them claim that their models have become as capable as OpenAI's latest GPT-4 model in several areas. Chinese authorities have been discussing the need for the country to develop its own controllable AI technology. State-backed newspaper China Daily suggested in a post last February on China's Weibo site that ChatGPT could help the U.S. government spread disinformation. China has also been quick to release rules on the use of generative AI. AI services must get government approval before being released to the public. As of January, China has approved over 40 AI models for public use but none of them were foreign AI models. I'm John Russell. The American Space Agency, NASA, is providing details about a railway system it plans to build on the surface of the moon. The system aims to provide a robotic transport system to support future lunar activities of astronauts visiting the moon, NASA said in an online statement. The railway would be part of NASA's Artemis program. It seeks to return astronauts to the moon for the first time since 1972. The agency has set a target landing date of September 2026 to place astronauts on the surface of the moon. NASA has said it also plans to establish a long-term moon base where astronauts could do their own exploring and carry out science experiments. Agency officials have said the base could be built as soon as the 2030s. It could also serve as a possible launch site for future exploration of Mars. Last month, NASA also announced new efforts to develop and test new vehicle models designed to explore the moon. The lunar rail proposal is called the Flexible Levitation on a Track, or FLOAT. NASA said such a railway system will be critical to the daily operations on the moon. The main purpose of FLOAT would be to provide transportation services in areas of the moon where astronauts are active, the space agency said. This will include carrying loads of lunar soil and other materials to different areas of the lunar surface. NASA has said it plans to mine such soil, called regolith, for substances that could support astronaut activities on the moon. Regolith can contain materials like water or liquid forms of oxygen and hydrogen. Those elements could be used to support astronauts and their equipment during long stays on the moon. The other main use of the proposed railway would be to transport larger loads of materials and equipment to and from the areas where spacecraft land. The FLOAT system is already being developed by engineers at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, in California. It is based on magnetic levitation, a commonly used technology in high-speed rail development. Drawings by NASA suggest the plans call for flat, magnetic panels called robots to float or levitate over a flat rail line or track. The robots have no moving parts and are unpowered. They are pushed along the track by electromagnetic energy. NASA said the simple design of the carrier robots should help them last a long time and require little ongoing care. The system's tracks can be placed directly on the lunar surface, avoiding the need to build a complex permanent structure. They could also be moved around to change the transportation path. A smaller version of the FLOAT system will permit robots to transport loads up to 30 kilograms at speeds of about 0.5 meters per second, the agency said. A larger system could also be built to enable load transports involving up to 100,000 kilograms of regolith. Such a system could permit trips of multiple kilometers per day, NASA explained. The agency is currently developing and testing different parts of the FLOAT system. FLOAT is one in a series of NASA development projects that recently received additional financial assistance to keep running. The projects are part of a NASA program called Innovative Advanced Concepts, or NIAC. Each of the projects received up to $600,000 to continue working over the next 2 years to progress further. FLOAT and the other projects already passed NIAC's first development phase and are entering the second. If the efforts continue to show promise, they will be able to enter Phase 3, which provides additional funding and support from NASA. After that, the projects will be considered for a future space mission. I'm Brian Lynn.
Brian Lynn joins me now to talk more about his science report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Sure, thank you for having me.
This week's report examined plans by NASA to build a railway system on the moon. We learned this project is one of several the agency recently approved for additional financial support. What can you tell us about the other projects?
Yes, the rail system proposal was one of six projects NASA advanced for further financing and development. One of the others was an effort to build a telescope out of fluid materials. NASA says it hopes to use such material to create an extremely large space-based telescope. Bigger telescopes often lead to major new discoveries, and NASA says these liquid-based ones could collect light at much greater distances, possibly leading to improved observations of very distant parts of our universe.
And are these projects chosen by NASA all from private companies?
Yes. So this NASA program called Innovative Advanced Concepts accepts proposals from both private companies and government groups. For example, the Moon Rail proposal and the Fluid Telescope project are from separate research groups from within NASA. Some of the other efforts were from university research teams or commercial companies. And as was mentioned in the report, all the recently chosen projects will eventually have to pass a three-stage development process before being considered for a future space mission.
All right. Thanks again for joining me on the show, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Is Anna Mateo.
My name is Andrew Smith.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You're listening to The Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. The series shows Anna Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
On the lesson of the day, we like to help you learn from even small amounts of the language you hear in the Let's Learn English series.
Sometimes you can learn a lot from just a little.
Listen now to the beginning of Lesson 32 of the series. See if you can notice little expressions Anna uses. First, to show excitement, and then to show that she is worried.
Hello. Today is a big day. My first children's show is on television. Woohoo! I'm excited. and nervous.
Hello, Anna.
Hello, Ms. Weaver.
Some people are going to watch your children's show. After they watch it, they'll tell me what they liked and what they didn't like.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Is what we call an interjection. Those are words, sounds, or phrases we use to quickly show feelings. Oh, dear, shows that Anna is worried about whether people will like her new children's show.
Ms. Weaver also looks very serious in the video, so I think Anna is worried about that, too. But what interjection did Anna use to show her excitement?
Hello. Today is a big day. My first children's show is on television. Woohoo! I'm excited.
Woohoo is right. When we get good news or are excited about something, we sometimes use this interjection. It's not really a word. It's more just like a sound.
It's an interjection.
Interjection, 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 interjection.
And what other interjection does Anna often say to show she is excited? Here's a hint. It begins with the ah sound. And it is also a real word in English.
And the interjection is?
Awesome!
Awesome!
Americans say this expression a lot, but our listeners might be curious to know what other meaning the word has.
Awesome is an adjective, and the noun form of the word is awe, spelled A-W-E. To feel awe is to feel very amazed or even frightened or fearful when you see or experience something big or special.
For example, if you are looking at a huge mountain or the world's tallest building or a natural wonder such as the Grand Canyon in the United States, you might have the feeling of awe.
And so you would say that the mountain or building is an awesome sight or an awesome thing to behold.
Behold is sort of a fancy word that just means to see or look at.
Jill, Anna said, oh dear, because she suddenly felt worried. What are some other polite interjections we use when we are disappointed, upset, or worried?
We say, uh-oh, if we think something is wrong, like if we've made a mistake or a machine is broken. And if we get bad news or a bad result, we can say polite interjections like, darn, rats, shucks, or shoot.
That's right. Believe it or not, we sometimes make mistakes when we're doing this podcast, and we might say something like that. For another example, if you are playing a sport and you make a bad mistake, you might say, rats.
Of course, native speakers also say curse words, or words that are not polite, as interjections to express negative feelings, such as frustration, anger, or disappointment. But we'll let our listeners find those on their own.
You're darn right we will.
I'm Jill Robbins, and you're listening to the Lesson of the Day on the Learning English Podcast. Now, let's go back to the beginning of Lesson 32. Listen to Ms. Weaver again.
Some people are going to watch your children's show. After they watch it, they'll tell me what they liked and what they didn't like.
Here's a bit of grammar for our listeners. In her second sentence, Ms. Weaver uses what we call a noun clause as the direct object of the verb tell.
After they watch it, they'll tell me what they liked and what they didn't like.
The noun clause is the words what they liked. A clause has a subject and a verb. The subject is the pronoun they, and the verb is liked. Together, the words what they liked act just like a noun because they are the object of the verb tell.
They'll tell me what they like.
One mistake people learning English make is they will say, what did they like in this situation? Because the word what makes it seem like a question. But it's not a question. It's just a noun, object of the verb.
That's right. Like if I say, tell me the answer, the word answer is the object. So the noun clause works the same way. I can say, tell me what you think. What you think is the object.
But what about the pronoun me in the sentence, tell me what you think?
That is called the indirect object. It's like saying, tell what you think to me. But in English, we usually put the pronoun before the direct object.
We can hear more examples of the indirect object in Lesson 32. Listen as Anna explains the special machine she will use in her children's show.
Hello, I'm Anna. Welcome to the time-traveling treehouse. This is not a usual treehouse. It can time travel! That's why it's called the time-traveling treehouse.
Anna, do not forget me.
Of course not. This is my partner, Mindy.
My name means massive information navigation device for you.
That means we can travel to many places and learn many things. Kids from all over the world ask us questions. We find them answers.
Woohoo! That is right, Anna.
Mindy, what is our first question?
Layla asks us this question.
We hope you heard the interjection that the machine named Mindy used. And the examples with pronouns as indirect objects, placed before the direct object, were these.
Kids from all over the world ask us questions. We find them answers.
And
Layla asks us this question.
On our website at learningenglish@voanews.com, you can download for free the lesson plan that goes with Lesson 32 of Let's Learn English. It explains direct and indirect objects and many other things about Lesson 32.
And now, here's a little poem that uses many indirect objects. You gave me your hand and opened your heart. You gave us a chance to make a new start. I'll tell you my hopes. I'll tell you my dreams. I'll give you my love and all that it means. Like rivers that run from hills to the sea, we'll flow day by day, together and free. I offer my words. I open my door. The day you walk in, I need nothing more.
Well, that's really sweet, Andrew. I hope your girlfriend likes it when you find her.
I hope she does, too.
And remember that you can ask us questions by writing us at learningenglish@voanews.com. You could also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.